Fan, C Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. And right now, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Thank you very much, Kevin. I really appreciate that.
You're welcome.
The C Block today, we have two options here.
Oh.
Would you like the level of concern?
Oh.
Or a problem I have with my wife? We'll get to the level of concern first.
Yeah. Oh. Okay.
But if there's time left over at the end of the level of concern, there is a problem.
Well, guess how I'm going to be reacting to these. Oh, yeah. A lot. Next. That's your own fault. Alec Wright, that's his own fault. He set it up. So I'm like, I want to make sure we got time.
Yeah, let's just mow through this, Corey. Come on.
Kevin and Alec are like two kids that are just like, yeah, I'm eating these peas, but I really want that cake.
Exactly.
I really want the cake. All right. It is time then for the level of concern.
Are those first two noises concerning?
Man, I feel, if you hear it.
Okay.
Hold on, play that one more time.
I don't. Okay. I mean, they get more menacing. Just the beginning is not the most menacing.
Oh, I mean, but think about it.
All right.
That bong sound right there, that's like one of you getting it would be like if Bugs Bunny got hit in the head with an anvil, right?
Yep. Ooh. This has come up in the fan text. Can I just ask you one quick question? Did you poke your wife's other eye out?
No. Okay. I didn't poke her other eye out. I didn't poke the original. I didn't poke an eye out. I never did. I just stabbed her eye on accident. She went to the doctor yesterday.
And what did the doctor say? I think
the doctor's making it worse. She's like, oh, it's a big scratch. Whatever.
Man, that's a bold assertion.
3 millimeters by 3 millimeters. If that's big. All right, Jerry Jones was on this morning with Sean and RJ, and he was asked about the defense and how rough of a start things were. And the last couple of years, they've changed defensive coordinators. Why have they had rough starts, you think, Jerry?
Oh, I think it's buying into, as much as anything, it's buying into the scheme. You've got to handle your responsibilities, and you got to really do that all over the defense, whether it's in the back end or whether it's up on the front. You've got to do your responsibility. That's first and foremost, and then make that play if it's there. But the main thing is you can't just be there trying to make a play. You've got to have your responsibilities. Make sure that's covered before you abandon that area and try to go out and make a play. A lot of times just coming right in your hole and that'll solve everything. But you can't be a lone ranger out there. You got to be a part of a team.
Kevin, Jerry Jones.
Thank you, Sean.
Oh, man. I'm so sorry, Alec. I don't know which cut this is, and I didn't time stamp it. There was a moment this morning when they made a joke and Jerry laughed at it, and then his laugh was over. And I don't think they expected his last laugh to be over so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And then they all just kind of sat there for a minute. And I was like, oh, my God.
I remember that one, too. And it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
I can't remember which question it was, though. Maybe it was the glory. Oh, it was the glory hole one. It was the glory hole because they and he was like, I'm not going there too early. And they all were like, all right, I'll wait. And he was like, I'm waiting for y'all.
Yeah.
What is your level of concern for the communication about this defense? Because Jerry made it sound like, look, this was a problem last year.
Yeah.
Sometimes guys would go outside of what their defense was asked for, and Mike Zimmer's defense was, you just need to be in the right place. I put you in the right place. You make the play when it gets to you. Don't try and be a hero. And now he's saying the same thing about Eberflus's defense. What is your level of concern regarding the total defense right now?
It's really high because, you know, like you were just talking about, I mean, they've run like 95% zone, and so much of that is off of communication. And we're already talking about 2 weeks in, like they just don't have that communication down just yet. And I get it. Like, hopefully you'll progress and get better. But on the flip side, I'm thinking, well, how long is that going to take? Because the more you see of this defense, it's not a guaranteed loss. But if you see the same defense against against the Bears. Well, maybe it won't matter against the Bears, but against the Packers.
We were saying that about the Giants, Kevin.
Yeah, you're going to lose.
I did see some video this week, kind of watching Diggs trying to communicate with Donovan Wilson. Donovan Wilson did not have the same, they weren't on the same page. And what was the outcome? Deep ball that embarrasses
right.
Diggs.
Right.
And that's got to be a thing where I think maybe that's partially communication. But shouldn't the guys that are out on the field know what their role is?
Yes.
And their roles are.
Yes.
They should know what their responsibilities are before they hit the field.
This is one thing in particular that I do wish came up more in preseason games. I know you don't want to get players hurt and everything like that, but...
Or give anything away. You got to play with your seven.
That's great. I would have liked to see them go out there and try some of this.
And I'm not saying also that communication on the field isn't important. Like, you should know your role, and then whenever you get on the field, you should be able to communicate and know, okay, you got this guy, I got this guy, or I got the leverage here, whatever that is. Jadeveon Clowney is a new Cowboy. And Jerry was asked, do you think Clowney can make an immediate impact for your team?
Well, yes. Yes. And that's what it's, that's the purpose. And he's what we're going to ask him to do won't be foreign to him at all. And he's appears to be in real good shape. And so he's got that experience, and we'll start benefiting from him immediately.
What is your level of concern about the Cowboys' pass rush right now? Scale of 1 to 10.
I'd say 5.5.
1 being the best.
No, I'd say 5.5 because I think you've seen some flashes with the pressure and everybody.
James Houston.
Yeah, actually, if you come back with Woodbo with Micah Parsons, I mean, like, that was never going to be the case. You made the trade and we are moving on with the assets that you have. You're not going to have the same pass rush as you have with Micah Parsons. Like, where I'm concerned about the communication on the defense, the pass rush, I've seen flashes to be like, I'm only kind of concerned.
I told you earlier this morning while we were talking with Mickey that I wanted to talk to you more about Clowney in a situation.
Yeah.
Because you took the line from Steven yesterday. It allows us to be more aggressive. And you said, you know what? That makes sense.
Yeah.
And that's the first time I feel like you've felt they've made sense regarding the conversation of how they pursue things.
That is fair to say. And that's one of the reasons why I asked Steven yesterday, is it not fair that to say you could have signed all of these same deals with Mike?
Right. And that is, and while I think that's obviously you two have different philosophies.
And he said that. And yes. That's fair. I appreciate one of the things he said last year. I said, Jerry keeps saying you couldn't afford it, but is it not fair to say that you absolutely could have afforded it? You just might not have valued the running back position at that same point. And he was like, that's fair to say.
And I heard Bobby say this morning. When Jerry says we couldn't afford it, a lot of times it's the people told him he can't afford it.
Yeah.
And so he just goes, well, we can't.
Right.
So
right.
I wanted to kind of discuss difference in philosophy with you real
sure.
quick regarding this. I asked Jerry this. I kind of set him up, and he was like, you nailed it. You've hit the nail on the head with this. I kind of gave him the answer, I think, and that's unfortunate on my part. But I feel like they told themselves, we can't even entertain the thought
right.
of discussing with a Jadeveon Clowney because we can't afford it.
Right.
And it might also be, we can't even entertain a thought of it because if we bring him in, Jerry's going to want to sign him because Jerry loves closing deals and Jerry wants this stuff to happen. So we just have to act like we can't even do it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what they have kind of built in. Like in my mind, Kevin, you spend your money differently than I do.
Sure.
A lot of times I will go, I can't have that thing. So I'm not even going to think about or dream about having that thing.
That makes sense.
Because I can't have it right
sure.
now. And so, and you're like, well, hold on, I can move this money here and move this money here. And you play the game with it. And you're like, okay, I think that's what the Cowboys, A, it might be because of Jerry a little bit, because he would want to go buy all the things.
Sure.
And B, I think sometimes they look at their structure and they go, they're like, the only way we can be disciplined is by saying we can't even entertain the thought of it. And that's kept them from doing a lot of things that
okay.
I think they could do.
All right.
Does that make sense?
No, it does.
Yeah.
I get that. Here is the issue at the crux of all of that. Then why have they never shown that level of financial stones or whatever you want to say to move up the money for Dak Prescott? And here's the thing. And I don't mean like, why did they sign that contract? Like we talked about
because
that
years. Because that's my truck at Platinum Chevy.
Okay. But we talked about that years ago. So here's what I want to point out. Because people are like, oh, Dak Prescott making $60 million a year. All right, great. You notice cap hit is total for the next, after this season, for the next 3 years.
39.
$220 million.
Okay.
That is his cap hit for the next 3 years. So if it bothered you that it was $60 million a year, keep in mind his cap hit over the next 3 years is an average of $73.5 million per year. And why? Because the Cowboys keep creating this faux salary cap money that is not real. So right now, everyone's going to be like, they got $38.5 million. Yes, if they use it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know where a big chunk of that money came from? They pushed $39 million from Dak's cap hit into next year by flipping the switch. And I know Jerry's like, that's how the contract's built. That's great.
So how much will they have next year? Will they have 38 they have 12?
No, they'll have 38 because you can carry it over.
Right.
But
you can't carry that over the next year.
No, I mean,
right?
You can. You just keep building it up
I thought you could only carry it over for 2 years.
Well, that's true. But what you're going to say is, I use that space on these players. This is new extra space. That's what teams do.
Smart, yeah.
But think about it. Dak Prescott's salary cap hit next year is $74 million. And so that's where, and it was supposed to be $89 million this year. Now it's 50. Let's do some quick math. That's $39 million. How much salary cap space did the Cowboys have? About $39 million. So the biggest sin on the Cowboys salary cap, they're still paying for the contract before with Dak. They're not even just focused on this contract. It's that they had $40 or $50 million left over that instead of biting the bullet and being like, well, we're going to take a hit this year, they were like, no, let's just spread it out. And that's the issue that I continue to
have. So then whenever you say, when Jerry says, we can't have, if I spend a dollar here, that means that this dude doesn't get that dollar. And that means what he's saying is, hey, Dak, we've given you this money. We're not going to give you a perfect offensive line, and you're going to have to deal with that. And Dak's like, dang it. And yeah. All right, I got to go out there and I got to be a hero then.
And I just like, he continues to say the same thing. And it is factually inaccurate when he talks about it, when Jerry talks about, and we've talked about this with him before, when he says we're going to have 50% of our salary cap tied up in three players. False. Take a look at this year, for example. If you give Micah the extension, it would have been like $12 million. Your salary cap for CeeDee Lamb this year is like 15. And for Dak, it's 50 million. All right. So guess what? That's 77 million. Not even close. One of the reasons that number gets so high is because the Cowboys just keep pushing money later for Dak and pushing him money later for Dak.
Well, Kevin, it looks like we're out of time.
Sorry.
And we won't be able to discuss my problem with my wife.
Can we discuss that those cuts were brought to you by Window Nation?
Oh, we absolutely can.
I love it.
Love it.
Man, see if I can convince Carter to listen to your problem with your wife. We're the KNC Masterpiece.
Maybe I'll get to it tomorrow. How about
that? Okay.
1 o'clock segment tomorrow. My problem with my wife.
Okay. And that just, I'm sorry that went on for a little while, but that just bothers me that the Cowboys, and they're going to spin it as we have $38 million that we can carry over in cap room for next year. Yeah, because you moved $38, $39 million of Dak's money over. So good job. Like you really, that'd be like if I was broke and I took out a $10,000 loan and I was like, you know what? Talking to Jess, I'm going to take you somewhere really nice.
That actually sounds like a great idea.
I got $10,000 and they'll completely ignore that I have no way of paying the money back.
What are they going to do if I'm dead? How are they going to collect it?
Huh?
You know?
That is a take. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the Tuesday tailgate where we got bonkers endings, a couple firings, and total domination for UNT. Next on The Fan.
Fourth in the game. Reed. Rush comes. Reed pumps, fires, it is caught!
Nate Borkichel brings it in and ties the game.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Right now, we bring in our college football ace, Carter Freeman, because it's time for the Tuesday tailgate. Carter, welcome.
What's up, guys? I hear I sound like I'm in the 21st century now.
You do. Last week, it was weird.
Mm-hmm.
Now, mm-hmm. I realize lots of people have lots of thoughts about that last play for Texas A&M. I was watching the Notre Dame game on press row, had to try to contain my emotions. But for an A&M team that had not beat a ranked team on the road, I think in 10 years, and not a ranked team on the road that was in the top 10 in 11 years, this feels like a hell of a victory.
Yeah, it feels like a breakthrough for Mike Elko and Texas A&M. Like, this is the kind of win that can launch you somewhere, and especially because people still think Notre Dame's good, right? Like, they start out 0-2, but their losses are by 3-1.
Do you think they're good?
Notre Dame stays ranked. I do think they're good.
Okay.
I think they could run the table and still make the college football playoff. But for A&M, I said on my show on Saturday's Fan University, A&M has to win this game off of Marcel Reed's arm. And that's exactly what they did, especially on that final drive.
Yes.
That's the kind of quarterback that I think Marcel Reed can be. And I have to say, that game, top to bottom, when we look back on this season, it's going to be a top three most exciting game, right? Like, the amount of huge plays and that final drive that was originally a punt return touch or a kickoff return touchdown that got taken away. And then you got to see Marcel Reed drive the team down. And then there were so many penalties for A&M once they were in Notre Dame's red zone. And for that to come down to a fourth down play and for them to win, I mean, that was an epic game.
You know what? And it's funny that you say that, because there was actually a few different candidates for already epic game of the year, because I think Georgia and Tennessee will throw it in there. We'll get to that in just a second. But I'm with you. I was super excited that A&M won. We have not had a great deal of football success as of late. So I hope you're right, and this is a springboard. Now, teams that are not having success that both fired their head coaches, UCLA and Virginia Tech. Any particular surprises on either one of those?
No, not at all. I know both of these came into the season hot, and I think UCLA is more surprising just because they invested in the portal this offseason. They bring in Nico Iamaleava, they bring in some other players, but
good call on that quarterback trade for them, huh?
For 100%. And like you said, we'll talk about Tennessee in a bit, but there are 12 Mountain West teams. None of them have lost to two Mountain West teams so far this season. UCLA has lost to two Mountain West teams, and they got blown out by the second one at home. Everything that was coming to UCLA, it all just melted down that one game. And we were talking about Stanford early this season. Are they going to win a game? They did, on one of the weirdest offsides penalties you'll ever see. Now it's, will UCLA win a game this year? I don't know. I think Virginia Tech could sneak in, get a win. The way UCLA's looked, Nico Iamaleava is a shell of even a quarterback who I didn't have the highest hopes for last year, but he looks like he just looks washed. So UCLA is just, they are in as bad of a spot as you could possibly be.
Do you feel like the college football world is rooting against Nico because of I'm going to renegotiate my NIL and all of that
and
stuff.
And the Luka trade.
Not the other Nico. Yes, yep. That's fair.
That definitely goes into it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
No, I think that it's just proof of you F around and find out, right? Play stupid games, win stupid prizes.
Right.
That's exactly what this is. And it's prime politics. Example of just because you leave for more money, you're not always going to find somewhere better.
It was a Taylor Swift reference, I believe.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I think it was.
Okay.
I'm going to say it was.
Okay.
It was Americana and the Heartbreak Prince.
Yes, there you go.
My Taylor Swift records are somewhere down here.
All right. Can you go ahead, Alec, and give me cut number 13? Because we've already made a couple allusions to this. I was watching it at the sportsbook at the Fountain Blue, and I really felt bad for RJ.
Come on, big man. Right up the gut. Hand it to McCray. There he goes. He drives in. They grab him from behind. Did he get the ball over? Close to the goal line. No signal yet.
After further review, it is a touchdown.
Oh, yeah! Steve Marlowe with the winning call. Rocky Top crumbles. Dogs are winners. 44-41 in overtime.
Just real quick, I always think it's weird when you win or lose on a review. And you just have to kind of stand there and be like, oh.
And when the Nacho Man Randy Travis is doing the play-by-play.
That does actually.
Hey, there we go, brother.
I hate the way you
come on, big man.
That man, what a way to start that call. But this game was crazy as well. And Joey Aguilar, I know that they did not end up winning, but man, what an early revelation he has been for Tennessee.
He's put himself on the national stage, right?
Yes.
And there were rumors when he was at UCLA that he wasn't picking up their offense well. And now you look at him at Tennessee through three games, he looks like a Heisman contender. And this is kind of something we've seen with Josh Heupel since he's been at Tennessee. The quarterbacks have a really easy time adjusting to that offense. You saw it with Hendon Hooker. Joe Milton had good moments there.
Yes.
So he stepped in and been awesome. So they've clearly won the trade between them and UCLA between the quarterbacks. But did you know Josh Heupel at Tennessee had never scored more than 17 points against Georgia?
What?
And he did that in the first quarter of this game.
Wow.
Okay, yeah.
So the other fun stat.
I'd heard you had a crazy stat. That is amazing.
There are so many fun stats from this game. And two I'll give you are after the second quarter for Josh Heupel against Georgia, since he's been at Tennessee, they were being outscored 120-20. That's how much Georgia had dominated this game after the first quarter since Heupel's been at Tennessee. And then Georgia wins their ninth game against Tennessee in a row. Heupel is 23-3 in his last 26 home games at Tennessee. Those three losses are all to Georgia. So that is just the bugaboo he cannot figure out. He has two wins over Alabama, wins over A&M, wins over other, you know, SEC contenders, can't beat Georgia.
Did you call or text RJ to commiserate with him, or did you think it was best to just leave him be?
Well, I picked Georgia in my pick'em with my friends, and I got that one right, so I just kind of reveled in my own success.
Now, also, does it look like the Tennessee kicker is 6 years old? You saw that, right? He looks like a little kid.
Yeah, and I guess Josh Heupel's kind of a bad parent because he set him up in a bad spot, especially post-game. Late in the fourth quarter, Tennessee's on the Georgia side of the field. They run three straight times, get nothing, and decide to just go up eight instead of just going for the kill shot.
Yeah,
it comes back to bite him, and then he misses a field goal and to win the game. And then I know he hits one in overtime, but like, I don't think Josh Heupel put him in a very good spot there.
Speaking of little kids and old men, I'm bringing old men into the conversation.
Bill Belichick?
No, the Diego Pavia, we just saw that he is now, his lawyers are challenging for the seventh year of eligibility. Why does Diego Pavia not want other people to have a chance to be the quarterback at Vanderbilt?
Because he's the ultimate case of like, just root against me and I will make you regret it. Right? Like everywhere he's gone, he just beats teams that his team shouldn't beat, but he just has that moxie that like has just pushed Vanderbilt to levels they haven't seen in a decade. So yeah, you know what? Every offseason it's a headache, you know, trying to figure out eligibility concerns but like, you know what? If they keep doing these injunctions in courts and letting you have extra years, you know, why not? Diego Pavia's fun to watch.
I agree with that. I am kind of the 7 years.
That's amazing.
It seems like it just a long, like go to the next level. I understand like there's differences, but it does feel like that window is growing too much, and I don't know if it's ever going to change.
And you know what? Every year, I think we're done with the fifth and sixth year COVID seniors, and every year we find more and more of them more ways to play.
Now, I heard this morning, Sean and our, especially, I feel like Bobby Belt was talking about how much of a jerk Brian Kelly is. Did you think Brian Kelly got asked a jerk question, or do you think he was always going to look for a way to be a jerk in that press conference?
Oh, he wants to be a jerk, and he probably knows that reporter, and he was just in a bad mood because his team should have won that game by more, and their offense did look like crap. You know, through three games, LSU is the only team in the SEC that hasn't scored more than 24 points.
Oh,
Yeah, they're through three games. And I know they have the tough game at Clemson, which maybe doesn't look as good of a win anymore, given how Clemson's played since they lost to LSU. But their offense is all out of sorts. And Garrett Nussmeier was making some boneheaded plays that allowed Florida to stay in that game.
Which is surprising.
Then when your defense picks their DJ Lagway off five times, you can get away with it. But not everyone's going to be Florida and just how out of sorts they are right now.
I think the most important conversation at this moment, though.
Give me cut number 14, Alec. I'm going to guess if this is where we're going.
McGill in the backfield. Throwing that direction, and that is an easy touchdown for North Texas. Brandon Young. They had three tight ends on that side of the field. It is Young who gets the touchdown.
Would like to say thank you to Jackson Potter from Washington State for throwing three interceptions, giving Drew Mestemaker plenty of good field position for his four passing touchdowns this weekend. That was nice to see UNT 59-10. They are the most dominant team in all of college football at 3-0 right now and unranked, and I don't get it.
And they were ahead 42-3 at half. How bad is Washington State, or as Corey said, how dominant are the Mean Green?
I think it's both. I do think UNT is good, and I think Washington State might stink. But this is what good teams do to bad teams, right? Is
yes.
They just beat the crap out of them.
Yes.
And Skylar Casty is UNT's defensive coordinator. This is his first season there. The UNT that I've watched my entire life does not force five turnovers in a half. They've maybe forced five turnovers in half a season.
Yeah, that's
but
true.
Not one half of football. So the defense and seeing how good they played, in addition to Drew Mestemaker looking like one of the best group of five quarterbacks in the country, like, I'm all in on UNT. Absolutely. And in a couple weeks, they host South Florida, who is one of the group of five playoff contenders. And if both teams take care of business, that's a Friday night game that could be a ton of fun. And I don't know if anyone can see my Zoom username right now, but it says rank UNT, you cowards. They didn't even get a vote. Not one single vote in the AP poll.
Do you still think South Florida is, are they in fact still in the mix, like you just said? Because they got dusted pretty good by Miami.
Yes, I do think South Florida is still good. I just think Miami is so much better than I thought they'd be. That Carson Beck has receivers that can catch the ball now, and he's not turning the ball over at the rate that he did at Georgia last year. And their line of scrimmage, both offense and defense, for Miami is just unstoppable. It is amazing how much they shut them down.
Is Carson Beck looking closer to the quarterback I think a lot of people thought we were going to see at Georgia last year?
Yes. Yes, because I think people are actually helping him now. His teammates are helping him, and he's a veteran. So I think, you know, he's definitely learned from last year where he threw a ton of incompletions, turned the ball over a ton, and he's with the playmakers he has and then the talent around him. Like, I still don't think he's going to be a first-round quarterback. I don't think he'll ever be that. But 100%, watching his growth has been surprising, at least to me.
What do you think about this bold quote from both of y'all from the Arkansas athletic director? We know we're set up to win a national championship in baseball moving forward. We're set up to win a national championship in other sports. Football, where we are right now, we're not set up to win a national championship. I'm going to be brutally honest with that.
And it's being real about where you are at the moment. And you're basically telling all the alums out there it's time to fork over some more cash.
Oh, like Jerry.
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's absolutely what he's saying. But it's almost like he's the guy that put Sam Pittman there, and it's his fault that they're not in championship mode in football. I mean, that's kind of on you, dude.
Any other names, scores, games that you want to go over?
Gosh, I mean, we didn't even mention Arch Manning.
Oh my gosh.
I don't.
So, sorry, Carter.
Is he hurt? Do you think he's hurt?
I don't. I mean, I guess that's the hope for people in the Texas program, because we mentioned him yesterday, 10 straight incompletions, not against a top tier team. First Texas quarterback to do that in 20 years. What the hell's going on with him? Is he hurt, like Corey said, or is it just hype meeting reality to any extent?
If he's not hurt, is there a bigger disappointment in the sport right now?
No.
Like, with how much hype there was in the offseason and everything that was taught, he was the Heisman favorite before he played, started the season. And it's one thing to struggle at Ohio State against a very good defense with a ton of talent to barely, or not barely, they win by double digits against UTEP this weekend, but to struggle to pull away from them, that is shocking. And Arch has not looked good. His receivers refuse to block downfield, which I think is a big thing. And the offensive line for Texas in this game specifically, they were getting pushed around by UTEP defenders that were about 70 pounds lighter than them. It was shocking to me to watch some of the highlights and just see the Texas offensive line just get shoved backwards. And like, there's a lot of things more than just Arch, but like just the level of struggles that Arch has shown, even against Florida, who's their first SEC road game, how can I trust them to go in and win a game like that? Florida still has a good defense.
Well, excellent stuff as always, Carter. We appreciate having you on the Tuesday tailgate.
Thank you guys for having me on. And then everyone listen to Fan University 9-1 this Saturday. You can read my articles on 105throughthefan.com. And Zach Rowe, I see you texting me right now. Arch has looked like crap. Mm. That's not just me that's saying that.
Oh, deal with it.
Fan and you.
And by the way, shout out to the Tarleton State Texans. They are 4-0. And by the way, they have been womping, folks. We talked about them 2 weeks ago.
I like the word womping.
When they beat Army. But they have continued, and they've looked pretty dominant getting to 4-0.
Yeah, they have.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, let's chit-chat with the fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105 Through the Fan.
A look back to Pena at second, and now the 1-1, and that ball is lined over Freeman out into right, a base hit, scooped up by Adolis. Rounding third, Pena, here's the throw home. It's high. Heim throws to second, and Cole is safe at second.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. Tough result for the Rangers last night. Good result for golf fans as they are expanding Masters coverage even further with Amazon Prime Video joining in, ESPN and Paramount Plus and CBS to give you more Masters coverage. It's up to 27 hours for next year, which is 50% more than just 2 years ago. And then as we said earlier in the show, congrats to Paige Beckers for winning WNBA Rookie of the Year. Right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing, it is time for our chit-chat with the fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Pretty good, Hagee. How are you?
I'm doing excellent, and I'm excited because it sounds like it's time for a special edition of You Make the Call.
Yeah, You Make the Call, crosstalk version. Was Brian Broaddus correct in this one? Let me set the scene. Neighbor at the complex I live in, I live above somebody, a lady in this complex. She sent me a text last night during the Astros game.
Okay.
So I'm watching. I'm already mad at what's going
right.
on. You know. So she sends me this text and is basically saying that while I'm walking on my floor, it's creating too much noise in her room. Oh. In her downstairs.
Like, just because you were stomping around after Tony Beasley sent Heim to the...
Yeah, I was a little upset that by that. Fair. I was upset by that. But she made a point of it by saying, a week ago Sunday night around 4:30 a.m., I was awakened because somebody upstairs was walking around as I'm home for 8 days recuperating from surgery. It seems the right time to ask for help in this. Please know, I greatly appreciate your consideration. So, you know, I've tried to have, like, you know, with rugs and stuff like that and all that. So this was my response. I work very early in the morning. I will do my best. All I ask is that you and your house guests decide to do things in your bedroom. Please try and keep that quiet, too. Don't need to hear you through these same thin floors.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, you've heard the...
Get her a body bag.
You've heard the sexy
time? Oh, my. How old is this lady?
She's younger than me. And
still spry.
I was sitting in my area, and I hear noise. Uh-oh. Like, a lot of noise.
Uh-oh. Voice and noise?
Voice noise. I just wonder, you make the call, was my text message... Yeah. Did it get to the point, and do you think it was effective?
That's like ending of a Twilight Zone episode. We went in a direction I did not see coming.
Wow.
It was definitely to the point. Yeah. I think we can all
probably
agree.
Probably didn't get a reply, I would guess.
I did not get a reply at all. But I just wanted a reminder, like I say, hey, I do my very best. I'm not doing jumping jacks up there and doing all this crazy stuff. I'm walking around. It's an older home that we live in. I live in the upstairs part, you know, and the floors are wood and they do squeak a little bit. And I'm not jumping up and down, but she wanted to send me this text And so I just wanted to make sure that she, you know, and she's honestly not one of my faves.
Isn't that
not one of my faves?
I sense that.
Yeah. Isn't that kind of a trade-off for like the convenience of being on the first floor when you move or run errands or whatever? But the flip side is you're probably going to hear people above you. Like, I thought that was part of our social contract.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. You get the convenience of not having to go upstairs in times where it is annoying, but at the same time, you are going to have to deal with some level of, and I think we can all understand when a line gets crossed from a sound standpoint. You got people jumping around.
Yeah.
Broadus, obviously a bit heavy-footed, but you stopped doing the burpees a long time ago.
Yeah, I don't do the squat thrusts up there. She's obviously doing squat thrusts, but I'm not.
A lot of squat thrusts.
Yeah. Mm. But no, she said, swinging. She said this, she's like, you know, she's calling me disruptive.
Right.
Like I'm doing it on purpose, you know, like, you know, and she's saying, oh, I have house guests that mentioned being awakened by loud footsteps a week ago.
Oh, that person didn't even live there. T.S., man.
That's why I said I wanted to remind her that when house guest is over there, I don't need to hear from her and the house guest.
About roughly what time do you usually hear her?
It could vary.
Yeah.
It could vary.
Good for her.
But I've never one time ever said, like, you know, like she will bang on the wall or you know, not during that activity, but she, like, you know, we'll be walking.
As far as you know.
Yeah. She'll be walking, and I'm just like, and I'm just trying.
Oh, she'll bang in a response to like your noise.
Yes.
Ew.
Oh, so we've got we got some Karen activity going
being
on here.
Very combative.
You know, I know PJ Washington.
I think it was more than effective. I don't think you're ever going to hear from this woman again.
Oh, she'll have to, you know, like, I mean,
she'll let it blow over maybe a week or two, and then she'll get back after it. I think you might have a nightmare neighbor situation on your hands.
I think
could become chronic.
She's part of the homeowners association thing of the deal.
Well, then emphasize 100%.
She's giving off that.
I you know what? I'm like so ready to move to the lake.
Move,
But that's the thing about it is, like, listen, I do my best. I put down a bunch of rugs and stuff to try and combat any kind of squeaking noise or anything like that. I'm trying. I mean, I understand. I'm walking around upstairs. I get it.
Houses make noise when you walk.
That's what I was saying. But was I in the wrong though? Was I way wrong on this one?
You were upset and frustrated.
Like I say, the Astros were winning at the time, and I just really didn't
get it. If it was 8-0 Rangers, do you think you would have taken like an easier response?
No.
I just was checking on that.
I just wanted to let her know that, like, listen, hey, I'm going to do my best, which I've been trying to do my best. But listen, I also don't appreciate you kind of calling me out for that.
Yeah.
But I'm going to, and she tried to get me with a, hey, it's football season. It's, you know, like, because she knows what I do for a living. So I just, but I get up early in the morning. I go watch tape. I got a busy
You should gift her, maybe sneak to the little mailbox spot and deliver her like some earplugs and maybe a ball gag. You know,
yeah.
Keep the volume down. She might need a new one.
Good night, man.
Some toys.
Once again, I did not see that about to happen.
Swing set.
I'm talking. This is a loud situation now. Loud.
I think you made the right call.
Thank you.
Fine.
I appreciate that. Yeah. All right, thank you, guys.
Absolutely. Yeah, because she's obviously making noise
well.
This
isn't trying, just like I think I'm trying harder to not make noise, and I don't think she gives a damn. You know, I don't think so.
In the throes of passion.
I would like to share a story if that's possible. Oh. Adrian and I were living in a duplex for a while over in the M streets. And she would get up in the morning and she'd walk around. We had wood floors. We didn't have rugs at the time because we were 20s, poor. And she would walk around in her high heels. And our neighbor came up one day, knocked on the door. And he's like, every time I hear your high heels walking around, I want to stab myself in the ear. And she told me what happened. I was like, that is effed. I'm going to talk to him. And she goes, I think I'm going to go call the cops. And I think he needs to stop smoking weed down there. And I was like, let's not be hasty. All right. Let's hold on for a second here and see if we can kind of come to an agreement on something here. And ultimately did. And he moved out. So.
Oh, man.
Way to defuse that situation.
Thank you.
What do you guys got coming up on the program today? I'm hoping it's stories from all three of y'all about neighbors now. We've gone around the table.
I think I've usually been the problem neighbor, so we'd have to flip through the Rolodex and find some people that you know, could testify on that regard. But we do have the Rangers player show coming up at 3:20. Cole Wynn is going to join us, and Mark Schlereth at 4:40.
I like it.
Your gold is always thanks for asking.
I like it. Roll home with a show of neighbors who get to the point. It is the G-Bag Nation. We have been the Cansey Masterpiece. Make your way back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Say good night, Kevin.
Good night, Kevin.